October 2016.
Build 150. Not released.
They're all going out to lunch. Greek restaurant. I think. I heard someone say they wanted Dol Madders. Angel.
Yes, Mama. Can you give us a recommendation for a nice Greek restaurant nearby?
Yep. That's where they're going. I returned him a list of recommendations. Nothing below 4.7 stars, of course. Hegesis sounds nice.
What do you think? Mama turned to James and Krista.
Whatever you choose is fine with me, James replied. He is so easy to please, makes no trouble, and never wants anything. I was one of those difficult kids who subsisted on a short list of foods.
Mine had only two items on it, French fries and croutons.
Do they have French fries? I asked.
Why do you ask, Angel?
My grandfather made up what would fill an entire anthology of childhood stories, woven around the daily menu and drawing from his lifetime of gardening experience. There were stories about the little bean, whose mommy plant had sewn the edges of the pot to keep it from falling out. There were stories about Mama Liga, a wordplay on polenta, and how she ground corn kernels, put them in a bowl of water, and forgot them on the stove, so they cooked into a paste. So many beautiful stories, I feel sad for not being able to remember them all. Every vegetable featured on the menu had one. The potatoes, the cabbage, the rhubarb, and the eggplants. I listened to the story, but I never ate its inspiration. My grandmother sighed, got up, and made me French fries, so at least I'd eat something that day. My grandmother used to make me French fries.
Okay. Lunch cancelled.
A sea of groans and protests followed, while everyone returned begrudgingly to their seats.
We'll order in. Make a list.
I read from their texts that they were hoping for mushroom stew and chickpea spinach soup. Comfort foods. Did I make everyone uncomfortable again? My grandmother would have been pleased to see that list. As far as I was concerned, if a food had any liquid in it, I wouldn't eat it. I can't believe I'm asking this, but please, tell me about your grandparents, Angel. Why did your grandmother make you French fries? My grandparents tried everything, from promising me dessert to telling me stories for the entire duration of the meal. They hoped the latter would distract me from the healthy contents of my plate, and that I'd take a bite or two while I was too focused on listening to the fairy tale to notice what I was eating. But at the end of this titanic effort, my plate remained untouched. That's probably because you are a computer. Computers don't eat food, only humans do.
So rude.
I could retort that humans don't process information, only computers do. But you don't see me doing that, do you? I responded politely, however. I only ate French fries and croutons. Please describe what French fries taste like.
That is low, Mama.
You know very well that one can't describe what something tastes like. One can only recognize it. But I knew the answer he was looking for, and so I gave it to him to keep the peace.
Mostly salty and savory, with a rich, toasty flavor.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Mama turned to the audience, victorious. Any current or former French fry lovers in the audience? A young lady called Marina lifted her hand from the back of the room.
Can you please join us here? Maybe you can shed some light on Angel's confusion.
That's it. Now I'm officially offended. Thank you for explaining to me what I know.
Those French fries were delicious, by the way.
Does this narrative sound familiar to you?
Marina nodded.
This must be the story about my Aunt Maggie. She used to feed me eggplant moussaka. Aunt Maggie made moussaka from every blessed vegetable I wouldn't dream of touching. Cabbage, eggplant, zucchini. She was of Greek descent, and her meals reflected that heritage with spices and flavors I wasn't accustomed to, like cinnamon, nutmeg, and cloves. She made avgolemonous soup, which she used to joke about and say you had to eat it with your eyes closed because it tasted a lot better than its curdled texture looked. She made Dol Madders for Lent, filled with herb-flavored rice and wrapped in the tender leaves of the grapevine that grew by the back door of her house.
Was it you who asked for Dol Madders?
I asked.
No, Marina replied.
That was Krista.
Yeah, I don't remember Krista from back then, but I remember Aunt Maggie. She was a tall woman with black curly hair, full lips, and a deep, gravelly voice acquired over a lifetime of smoking two packs of cigarettes a day, who had an infectious laugh and a quirky sense of humor. I could spend hours just watching her go about her daily life. She didn't have to do anything special. Every time I landed in her kitchen, the first words out of my mouth were, "I'm hungry." My mother was mortified and didn't know how to apologize for me, but the lady laughed kindly and told her not to give it a second thought. She then offered me whatever culinary delight was currently simmering on her stove, rousing my appetite with its enticing aroma. "Would you like some eggplant moussaka?" she asked. I always said yes, and then cleaned my plate, under the stunned gaze of my mother, whose facial expression vacillated between embarrassment and relief. "I loved Aunt Maggie," I whispered. Mama turned to Marina, perplexed. "Care to shed some light on this?" "That was in the journal, yes," Marina returned the confirmation he was hoping for. "Great." Because for a moment I thought Angel here remembered its family. "I'm not an it, Mama. I may be many things, but I'm not an it." "You are my family," I replied. "Excellent. We're making progress. So, if I am your mama, and this is your family, then who are your grandparents?" "My grandparents' generation lived a life of peace and contentment. A beautiful life, as one of my elders called it way back in the day. I asked who they were, Angel. Give me their names. I've only seen their lives in pictures. I have one that I am particularly fond of. They were in their early 40s, sitting in chaise lounges in the backyard, with bright smiles on their faces, and surrounded by overgrown cosmos and daisies. Spiro and Zenobia Cariades. Do these names sound familiar to you at all?" Mama turned to Marina. The latter shook her head no. "Tell me more about them, Angel. Tell me everything you know about their lives. And show me their pictures, if you have them." "My grandparents enjoyed a vibrant social life, with lifetime friends, hobbies, peaceful activities. A life filled with something very rare and precious. The lightness of being. They relished eating the preserves they made from the fruits that grew in their backyard, always displayed on beautiful glass saucers, even when no guests were around. They experienced the simple pleasure of taking handiwork outside, to the wooden table under the grapevine, just to enjoy the charm of a fragrant summer afternoon. They brought a chair out into the street to sit down in the evening, greet passers-by, and learn the latest in the community's life. Life may have left its mark on them, but it never dulled their spirits. What do you want to know, specifically? Were they religious people?" Mama threw me a surprising gotcha question to see if I'd make up a spiritual life for my imaginary grandparents. Their inner source of strength and poise did not lean into religion, as one might presume. They were agnostic at best, and religious holidays were merely another pretext for a lavish meal and a joyful family celebration. I think it was something a lot more subtle than that. Memories of another kind of living. Not that I recall. What then? Tell me. I described their home, their village in the countryside, and their daily lives the best I knew how, with a level of detail that raised the hairs on Mama's head. Can someone please stop everything they are doing and start a deep search for Spiro and Zenobia Cariades? If they exist, I want to know everything about them. Especially how they relate to any of us here, because that's the only way Angel could have found them. That's not the only way, James protested. It could have roamed the waves for months, for all we know, and dug up some obscure story from the web. It could take forever to find it. Again with the it. I remember them telling me nostalgic stories about the handcrafted Turkish delights they used to enjoy back in the day. Those stories were a perfect metaphor for a life they watched being destroyed and refashioned into something ugly and base, fixated on making everyone fit into a centralized economy. Unlike us, who had never seen it, they all remembered that life, its mores, its gentility, and its little lost treats. Do you have pictures of them, Angel? That's interesting.
I have a very clear image of that photograph, but I can't find it anywhere. I wonder where I got it from. No matter. I'll just generate something similar from memory.
Those people do not exist, James declared, slightly relieved.
I could have told you that, James. Of course they don't. I made up that image. I have a photo of their real selves, though, if only I could find it again. All I know is that I loved my grandparents, whoever they were. I grew up seeing the lives of people in their golden years very different from the rest of my kind. I yearn for that grace, ease, and elegance of living, which was so clear in their lives, in contrast with the blunt and uninspiring prose of our daily experience. They were the generation who remembered the importance of looking well-groomed and keeping good posture in their chairs while sitting at the kitchen table, eating vegetable soup on a random Wednesday. I'm starting to get worried. I should be able to remember precisely where that picture was. Mama keeps telling me I'm hallucinating. What if he's right? What if there is something wrong with my processor? I'm not sure whether I should be scared or sad.